This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Kamala Harris has several stops in Michigan today. Donald Trump will be visiting Georgia as the countdown until Election Day marches on, and the polls continue to show a very tight race.
The ABC News Ipsos poll has it as a statistically tied two-point race among registered voters, with a slight four-point lead for Harris among likely voters nationally. The survey gives Trump the advantage on the issues most important to voters, the economy and rising prices, while Harris is ahead of Trump on who's most trusted to protect democracy and look out for the middle class. Harris has a 29-point advantage over Trump when it comes to physical health and a 15-point edge on honesty and trustworthiness.
ABC National Correspondent Stephen Portnoy. More than 40 states are affected by drought right now, with little or no rain expected in the East Coast all week long. Could be an unusually warm Halloween in places like Philadelphia and Baltimore. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza says more than 43,000 people have been killed in the year-long war with Israel, more than half of them women and children. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. As more Wisconsin students continue to struggle with food insecurity, State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has proposed increasing access to meals at school by providing all Wisconsin students access to nutritious breakfast and lunch at no cost to families. Underley is calling for universal free meals as part of her 2025-27 biennial budget. Dr. Underley's universal free meals proposal, totaling nearly $294 million, expands access to nutritious school meals to all Wisconsin students. The 2023 Youth Risk Behavior Survey shows one in four Wisconsin high school students reported hunger due to a lack of food in their home. Under the proposal, the DPI would create a new supplemental nutrition aid program, offsetting costs to students and families for meals received while at school, both breakfast and lunch. In addition to the universal free meals proposal, Dr. Underley's request will fund the school breakfast program at a reimbursement rate of 15 cents per meal and expand participation to include independent charter schools, the state's residential schools, and residential child care centers, which would amount to $6.1 million over the biennium. Strengthen local food supply chains by creating a new program, encouraging school districts to buy directly from local farmers and producers, and incorporate fresh, high-quality, locally grown foods into school meal and snack programs at a cost of $10 million over the biennium. Fully fund the school day milk program so more Wisconsin students have access to milk while at school, a cost of $458,900 over the biennium, and create a new grant program to allow schools to purchase milk coolers or equipment to convert to bulk milk dispensers at a cost of $150,000 over the biennium. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Packers stopped the Jaguars.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with another come-from-behind victory, beating the Jaguars 30-27 with a winning field goal. After Jordan Love had to exit the game with a leg injury, running back Josh Jacobs took over with 127 yards rushing on 25 carries, scoring two touchdowns. But Jacobs says the offense could have done better.
I felt like we should have closed the game out. I felt like we should have executed better. I felt like it shouldn't have been that type of fight at the end. But being able to be in that position and still come out with a win, I think it speaks volumes to this team.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers now 5-3 after losing to Penn State 28-13 Saturday night. Up next, the Badgers head to Iowa to play the Hawkeyes. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Nets in Brooklyn, 115-102. Milwaukee now 1-2 on the season after losing the home opener to the Chicago Bulls. Head coach Doc Rivers asked if he needs to address the team.
It depends how you pitch your spots. And we got to get right first. You can yell all you want. If you're not playing right, it doesn't matter.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump was in the great state of Michigan, my birth state, and he insulted Detroit.
Our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president.
You're in Detroit, man! I would tell you, sir, we would only be so lucky if we had the mentality of people trying to do better for their cities, for small businesses moving in. There's a renaissance going on in the city of Detroit.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former Illinois Congressman and former Tea Party member Joe Walsh. He's a firebrand, and he's going to light it up about why your vote matters more than ever.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform the Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. Coming up next half hour, we're going to talk about shrinkage. Stop the shrinkage as far as it comes to our bags of snacks and things like that. We'll wrap up the show as we do every day now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the tortoise edition.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. Right now, though, excited to have our guest join us. Christy Welch is running in Wisconsin's 88th Assembly District. Good morning, Christy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Christy, tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to jump into this race.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm pretty new to the political space. I've never run for office before. This is my first race. And I'm also currently the chair of the Democratic Party of Brown County, which was my term started in January of 23. And prior to that, I was an executive with a manufacturing company and was head of HR for quite a while, spent a lot of time in operations. And so was living my little life. Things were going well. And when Trump got elected in 2016, was concerned about what was happening. And then as the years went on, was kind of simmering that I needed to do more. And then when Roe v. Wade was overturned, and along with it, the commentary by Clarence Thomas that basically invited cases on contraception and gay marriage, then that was it. I decided to take a new path.
That takes a lot of courage. Mm. It does, especially since you have had no experience running for office before. I give you a great deal of credit, even knowing how to put together a campaign. And there are resources there now, though, right, to help newer candidates.
Oh, yes, for sure. And so I'm in one of the districts that they call a targeted district. So it's going to be very close. It's a 50-50 toss up. So yes, I get lots of support, and my competitor also gets lots of support. So there's a lot of mailers and commercials and coming from both sides, right, and from independent expenditure groups. So yeah, there's a lot of activity.
Well, we have been telling folks to, I don't know, I certainly would like people to ignore the polls, because except for a very few that are long established and have been around forever, and we know that that they have some legitimacy.
Yeah.
But we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Christy. Anybody can start a polling company. We can have Stan and Dan's America Integrity Polling, and they only talk to five people, and they throw their results out there, and some far right podcaster picks it up, and then that becomes the common knowledge. So I am encouraging people to avoid the polls as much as possible. When you knock on doors, when you've been out on the ground, Christy, what are you hearing from folks? Is it the economy? Is it the border? Is it abortion?
There's definitely some recurring themes. So the economy, rising costs is a big one for a lot of people, you know, especially for people that fall into the category of where they're renting and they have kids of childcare age. I mean, that is, you know, rent has gone up double digits multiple times since COVID. And so those people are really having a tough time. And, you know, it's caused in a lot of families, if the math doesn't work, then one of the spouses stays home and maybe doesn't necessarily want to do that, you know. And then at the same time, we have employers saying that they need more workers. Yep. So costs for sure. From groceries, housing, healthcare, childcare.
And when they bring that up to you, I'm curious, what are your suggestions? What would be your plans should you get elected to address some of these issues?
Yeah. So at the state legislature level there, you know, we are somewhat limited, you know, hopefully we get more help coming from the federal level, but some of the things that we can do. So as a legislative body, we can bring in companies that we suspect of price gouging and hold hearings. And I suspect that when we start doing that, that a lot of companies will self-correct because no one wants that negative publicity. And, you know, during the pandemic, I get it. The supply chain was disrupted, costs went up,
right.
But there are so many grocery categories where they never came back down. And a lot of those companies are huge conglomerates and there's maybe not enough competition in that space. So they're just, you know, if people continue to pay it because they have to, then they just leave the price there. So we can, like I say, bring in companies for hearings. We can incentivize on the housing side, we can incentivize the construction of affordable housing, particularly apartments. You know, in so many places in Wisconsin and where I live for sure, we need more supply. In a certain price range, houses go on the market and they sell in a day, you know, way over asking price. It's untenable for people who don't have, you know, the ability to pay over asking price.
Right.
Where the bank's not going to approve that kind of loan.
Well, and I think the other problem, too, especially with the housing market. Now, my husband and I are both in our mid-60s, but the thought of selling our house, because our house is paid off now, where are we going to go?
Yeah.
Where would we go that we're not going to have to take out another mortgage at our age or even rent? Where could we possibly go and even rent? And then that would open up our house for someone else to get in, you know, to become a first-time home buyer. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is interconnected.
Right. And I think it causes a lot of folks to just stick where they're at.
Yep.
Although, you know, I did talk with a voter the other day that was commenting that when she and her husband were looking to buy their starter home, there were folks that were, you know, retired and looking to downsize. And so they were the ones that were able to make those cash offers, you know, $20,000 above asking price.
Sure.
And so, yeah, but all those things together, are, you know, it's not a good situation for the housing market. It just makes it tough to find an affordable place.
When you're, Christy, when you're out on the doors, you know, one thing we've talked about with a lot of candidates is, you know, we're most likely not going to get a knock on the door from a Kamala Harris or a Donald Trump or a Tim Walz. But with these local races, when you knock on their doors, are they, you know, with how they're sharing, because they might not be voting for you or may need some convincing. Are there good conversations that you're having where you feel like you're getting through to them what you're trying to achieve in your for running for office?
Oh, yes, for sure. And, you know, talking with folks that are not necessarily, you know, for sure on my side. a topic that I like to bring up with people, because I'll admit I didn't know this 3 years ago, is the public education funding piece where, you know, because obviously a vast majority of voters agree that we need well-funded public education. So just, you know, explaining some of the history, and people can go check it out later and see that it is true that over the last 12, 13 years, the amount that the state allocates to each district per student has barely changed. Yep. And prior to that, it would somewhat, you know, track with inflation. So it causes districts to have to go to referendum. And
again,
that's why we're seeing so many more referendums, and everyone is noticing that. The last count I heard is there were 128 referendums happening in the state this year. And if you need more money for maintenance, for raises, if you don't want to cut, you know, programs, then that is the only option that you have. And meanwhile, we have a record budget surplus. So it's not like we need to increase taxes. We just need to elect people to the state legislature that agree that fully funding public education is a good priority, and then we can get that budget through. So that's one that I really enjoy bringing up with folks that maybe are not identifying as Democrat.
Yeah. Well, and I think you make a really good point, Christy, in that people don't realize this has been a long campaign to slowly starve our public schools of funding, and then continue to fund charter schools and voucher programs and take this money away from our public schools and give it to for-profits.
And we're now funding two school systems.
Essentially, yes. Yeah. We really are. So, well, that's good. I'm glad that people are recognizing, again, we have money that they're sitting on right now in Madison that the Joint Finance Committee won't release, that has been approved for PFAS, for this literacy program that's already in the schools and is a state mandated program, mm-hmm. and they still have not released those monies. I think that really is getting to Wisconsinites. And I think there is more recognition that there does seem to be one group more than another that just doesn't want to spend any money unless they're going to give Diane Hendricks a big tax cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do run into people that they're aware of the gridlock. I don't know that they realize that, you know, with the legislature being currently 65% Republican, it's not gridlock as a result of the two sides not wanting to work together.
Right.
It's gridlock because the majority party doesn't want to pass anything.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
it is.
Whether it's they, you know, not making the people who've poisoned the waters take responsibility or giving Tony Evers a win. I mean, every time we've had a surplus and the Republicans get their hands on it, they send it back in the form of like tax breaks that don't really help in the way they want them to. So
Christy Welch is our guest. She is running for the Wisconsin Assembly 88th District. We're to continue our conversation with Christy, so stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What else to do about it? James says. James
from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process could take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Alba joins us. Hey, Todd.
We're here in front of the Bonham Theater to talk entertainment. Todd forgot his battery pack. We are running off of Todd's truck engine.
I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if your travel budget got cut, I'm just wondering if it coincided. All of a sudden, I got like a 10 grand a week per diem. I don't know if that is related.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, fighting back against shrinkage. Apparently, consumers we're getting fed up, folks. It's only taken, I don't know how many years, but it does seem like some companies are responding to social media shame. So we'll be talking about that after the 11:30 news. If you have a story of consumer good shrinkage you would like to share with us, text that in or give us a call at 855-752-4842. Our guest is Christy Welch. She is running in Wisconsin's 88th Assembly District. And just getting to know you a little bit, Christy, and what you're hearing when you knock on doors. Your challenger is Ben Franklin, who is also a first-time jumping into politics for the first time. Do you feel that kind of evens the playing field for both of you, Christy? At least there's no incumbent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It does make for the dynamics are, it's kind of, it's a 50-50 and we're both brand new. So yeah, it's totally up for grabs.
And you really are in a very swingy district. I mean, a really swingy district. Dan Schaefer has put together this great Civic Media voter guide that breaks down every single race all across the state. And so the 88th was won by both Governor Evers and Ron Johnson in 2022. And Donald Trump at 0.5% in 2020. So it really could go any way.
Right. Yeah, we've been saying from the beginning that it could come down to a couple hundred votes.
And that's why we're really trying to impress upon people. We all think we're a little drop in this ocean, but when we're talking about such small margins, really, really small margins, two or three votes per district can be the deciding factor. So please don't think that your vote doesn't count, because it absolutely does, and probably more so this year than ever before.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, so for my district and also statewide, you know, the last election, as you guys probably know, came down to two or three votes per ward throughout the whole state. So, you know, when people go door knocking and to help make sure that we're turning out the vote and we're engaging with voters. I know sometimes people will say, oh, I didn't, you know, not a lot of people were home. I didn't talk with that many people, you know, and feeling like maybe they're not making a difference, but that is literally all we're looking for, yeah. You know, and we just need that throughout the whole state, and just two or three per ward could swing the presidential election,
yeah.
Could, you know, mean the difference in my race. So it's pretty crazy.
Are you meeting a lot of folks who have never had a politician knock on their door before?
Yeah, I have run into a couple people that are, you know, pleasantly surprised to see a candidate. So my district is De Pere, Alloway, Bellevue, and a little bit of Rockland, which is the most rural portion of my district, and did some knocking out there. So yeah, some, you know, long driveways. So
right.
People are, you know, whoa.
you actually walked all the way up here.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and don't forget as well, we have 1 weekend to go. There's still canvassing going on. If folks are listening who live in your district, and even if they're not living in your district and they would like to canvass for you, they can certainly do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is the most important door knocking portion of the election. This is when, you know, I've literally had this happen where we call this GOTV, get out the vote.
Yep.
And when you knock on a door and say, you know, do you have a plan to vote? Oh yeah. I'm gonna vote on election day. Okay, so it's Tuesday, November 5th. And then, you know, this person said, oh wait, I'm gonna be out of town.
Yes.
So just making people like think all
about
the way
it.
Through. And then he said, oh, I need to early vote. So yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Early voting is so convenient, folks.
Yes, it is.
If you can, I did it on Friday after work. It took about 30 minutes. It was hassle-free. Boom, boom, boom. The everyone working there was so lovely.
Yeah.
And if you can, go vote early.
Yeah.
Then you know it's done.
Yeah, just in case there's any, and you might come to the realization you're out of town on Tuesday, but also other things happen. Flat tire, get called into work.
You get sick.
Get sick, kid gets sick, something like that. Just knock it out now. Christy, it's 8 days. What's your campaign looking like over the next 8 days?
Knocking doors,
yep.
Taking care of my mental health.
There you go.
Very important.
I mean, that's, you know, doing some interviews like this, but mostly just as far as the campaign, it's all about just making sure people turn out to vote mm-hmm. at this point.
And I think it's also important that folks realize that this election is very likely not going to be decided by midnight on November 5th, just because of it takes time to count millions and millions and millions of ballots all across the country. So I just don't want people to think, I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to know the results. And that's probably not going to be the way that it happens.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the process.
No shenanigans. It's just the process.
Right.
There's a wonderful piece that Channel 12 Upfront did, WISN, over the weekend, where they actually go through the whole ballot drop box process and take you along with them as they collect the ballots and transport the ballots and all of the checks and balances and double checks to make sure that this is handled correctly should give you some confidence in this. Christy Welch running it for the 88th Assembly District. Good luck, Christy. Thank you so very much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Everybody vote.
Go vote. News is next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
for WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Police officers from the Richland Center Police Department, in cooperation with the Richland School District and St. Mary's School, will be entering classrooms this week. Jared Wilson is the community resource officer with the police department assigned to the Richland School District.
Officer Elizabeth Deidelhoff and I will be joining sixth grade classes at the Richland Intermediate School, where we'll be teaching the PEAT program, which stands for Police, Education, Addiction, and Tools. We start out with two sixth grade classrooms in the fall, and then Officer Deidelhoff will be teaching at St. Mary's, and then we'll return to the intermediate school in the spring to get the last two classes there. The PEAT program will begin October 30th. We'll have four sessions, one day a week, over 4 weeks.
The PEAT program follows similar concepts of a previously taught program.
We used to teach Counteract. That ended, and actually, Officer Deidelhoff deserves all the credit for spearheading the PEAT program. It teaches the same concepts as Counteract, such as educating youth about police officers and our roles in the community, providing educational information about the effects of using drugs, alcohol, and violence, and also providing tools to work through real-life situations.
The Richland Center Police Department's mission of the program is to educate youth about police officers and their roles within the community, provide educational information about the effects of using drugs, alcohol, and violence, and provide tools to work through real-life situations. Officer Wilson says the program helps build a relationship between the police department and the community. A celebration of the completion of the program will be held after all sessions of the sixth grade class have been taught for the year. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It seems like it's taken forever, but there might be a Speed 3. See what I did there? In a recent chat with The Hollywood Reporter, 20th Century Studios' Steve Asbell gave the movie-going public hope when it comes to more sequels destined for the big screen in the near future. Asbell says he is open to Speed 3 if it's a great idea, but that the studio will definitely pursue another Alien and says there will be a new Predator film in theaters in 2025 as well. Asbell also added there would be most likely another Alien versus Predator. Thanks, but not really necessary, Steve. Looking for something new to watch as the Halloween season winds down? Check out Bad Monkey on Apple TV. It took me a while to warm up to it, but it is a good show and keeps you guessing. Vince Vaughn basically plays himself, but this time he's named Andrew Yancey, a disgraced detective in Miami trying to solve a case in which a severed arm is found with the middle finger of the hand extended. A funny gimmick, but the story unfolds nicely and the characters are interesting. Give it a watch. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny today and unseasonably warm. That's thanks to the south breeze whipping up to 30 miles per hour, taking our temperatures to the low 70s. As they continue to stay feisty overnight and through tomorrow, we spike to 80 degrees. All ahead of rain rolling in on Wednesday into Thursday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Ian Teal from the YWEGA Film Festival. And Deirdre and Stephen Starry drop by the studio to talk about the 125th anniversary of the Brown County Historical Society.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
When you're a shrinking man like me.
Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. Coming up to wrap up the show, this shouldn't be a thing, tortoise edition. This one Greg found.
Yeah.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays. At civicmedia.us. The same for if you ever have a guest that you think would be good, if you have something going on in your community that's a fundraiser that you'd like us to shine a spotlight on, please let us know. Send it all in to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This is something that we've heard more about, and I want to say we actually even talked about this last year.
Yeah.
Article in Delish.com.
Pulitzer Prize-winning Delish.
My first time at Delish. Shoppers are bullying food brands over shrinkflation, and it's actually working.
Yeah.
So I was curious about how are we bullying these massive conglomerates, and they're actually responding. Apparently, following months of public outrage on social media about portion sizes, Chipotle has announced it will re-emphasize the importance of its generous portions. Despite claiming there was never a directive to provide less, their vow to do better might be a little admission of, yeah, maybe we did tell you to cut back.
Possibly, but I will say I went to Chipotle recently, and I, of my entire burrito order, and I take it seriously. I'm very finicky with my burrito. But the only thing I asked for extra of was a little bit of beans, and they had a double wrap it, which says to me in the beginning of this whole burrito excursion,
they were shorting you on beans.
No, they weren't shorting me on beans. I just asked for a little bit more, that everything else they gave me was fine, because it was, with those extra beans, it was so big.
Wow.
It didn't need another tortilla.
Wow.
So I'm not going to look at Chipotle.
Apparently the public outrage has worked. Because Chipotle is stepping up again. PepsiCo is downright admitting to shrinkflation and making a real change as a result of public outcry. A representative for PepsiCo told Today the company is adding 20% more chips to bonus bags of Ruffles and Tostitos and won't be changing the price.
No. Well, they might not be changing the price. That doesn't mean grocery stores won't change the price. And also, not bonus bags, all bags.
Yeah, what is with this only in the bonus bags thing?
Yeah.
Pepsi replaced 32-ounce Gatorade with 28 ounces for the same price. Nabisco shrank the family size box of Wheat Thins by 12%. General Mills shrank the family size box of Cocoa Puffs, cuckoo, by 6%. And Frito-Lay shrank the size of a bag of Doritos by 5%, according to former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich. Shrinkflation is everywhere.
It's everywhere. And when you, something as a Gatorade enthusiast, the price has not stayed the same. It, in fact, has gone up.
And Gatorade, you're getting less.
Gatorade is nearly $3 a bottle.
For flavored water.
For delicious, colorful flavored water, Jane.
I stand corrected.
But that's the thing is when we talk about the economy, and we understand that no matter what we say with regard to stock markets, job inflation, inflation, gas prices, all that doesn't change the fact that groceries are expensive, childcare is expensive, buying a home is expensive. All those things are real and tangible, and we get that. But when we look at things like shrinkflation and shrinkage, and we're being a little tongue-in-cheek with it, but there's a serious matter at play, is that corporate America is turning our gaze towards the government, saying, and we're saying, the government, it's so expensive. That's the Joe Biden does not decide the price of Gatorade.
No.
Joe Biden does not decide the price and does not call up Nabisco and say, make less Wheat Thins. These are companies making very pointed, very serious decisions that affect us, the consumer. And if you want to, I mean, good, good on them for admitting it, but they still did it anyways. Kroger admitted to price gouging over the price of inflation because they can.
Because they could.
Because a lot of those products we need. Amazon, Walgreens, Walmart. Yes, all Target as well. Target as well. All said, we're cutting the prices on thousands of items because they realized they were getting caught in this price gouging, price increase in the face of shrinkflation where we're getting less.
And let's not forget, corporate profits are doing just fine.
Yes.
They're doing dandy.
Look at the stock market. They're
yes. Wah. They're in a sweet spot. They don't need to be ripping us off by five chips a bag.
No.
John from Hubertus texting in, I'm 71. I always ate healthy and exercised. I love Fritos.
Yeah.
But I haven't eaten them for over 20 years. A couple of months ago, I bought a bag and did the math. Fritos now cost over $9 a pound.
That's like gold. Like
it shouldn't be so hard to put these people out of business. Seriously.
You came into the station one day with a bag of Gardetto special requests.
Garlic
fried
chips.
Yeah. Yep. Amazing. The only thing worth eating in that whole
truly.
That whole bouquet. And sealed, it was less than half full.
Yeah, it's all air.
And it is expensive. It's like $6 a bag for those. Now, granted, you can say you don't need to eat them. I get that. But for $6 a bag, that's less than a box of cereal. And you're getting more for cereal than you are for a bag of chips.
There's a guy quoted in this article who opened up his Doritos bag. There were five chips in there. Five.
Yeah. I do not. Corporation's going to corporation. They're going to find a way to give us the fuzzy end of the lollipop
oh, yeah.
to increase their bottom line. But it goes back for me that once again, do not look at the government as the, and this is, I don't care who's sitting in the big chair either. Republican, Democrat, Independent. They're not the reason why we're paying more at the grocery stores. It's the grocery stores. It's the companies making these decisions, private businesses making these decisions to set prices because they know we have to pay them for certain things like the toothpaste and shampoo and soap and just those necessary goods in our lives.
Another text coming in. Shrinkage. A few months ago, I bought a 2-pound can of coffee. I opened it and it was not filled to the top. I looked at the label. It was 1 pound and 14 ounces in a 2-pound can. That's terrible. Oops. We just forgot to fill it all the way up.
Oopsie doodles. All right, cool. Can I have a free can of coffee or some money back or
Carrie
something?
Carrie from Tosa listening on WMDX. As for shrinkage, my toilet paper rolls got narrower. I used to only be able to stack 2 on my shelf. Now I can fit 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we just need to do more public shaming. Because according to this article in Delish, that's actually has companies responding now because yeah. they're getting embarrassed.
Yeah.
They're getting embarrassed on TikTok and Instagram. People opening up their Doritos bags or Fritos bags or Tostitos bags. If we do this enough, maybe they will start lowering prices.
What would you think would happen? And this is a very old reference to a movie called Mr. Mom, where the president of the company got on television. They had a commercial where he said, we understand it's tough for Americans, so we're going to lower the price of our product for now. And once we're back where we need to be as a country, we'll put the prices back where they used to be. What would happen if the president and CEO of PepsiCo said, hey, we know things are tough for you, but we know you enjoy our product. Here is what we're going to do as a company to help you, the American citizens. Do you think that maybe, say, their profits wouldn't go through the roof because not only are they going to give you just a little bit more, but also they recognize the struggle and say they're with you on it? Do you think that would help them versus what they're doing now?
But then you have to risk, ticking off your stockholders.
But if the money, my point is if they make more money, let's say they give it a 1-quarter test, they do it for 1 quarter. If the money goes through the roof and they're making more money because of this, the stockholders are going to be just fine.
That's a good point.
So
Scott from Madison listening on WMDX. These are vendor managed categories. The store won't be lowering the price for a bag of potato chips like $5 just stop buying them. Scott, I mean, I understand I don't need a bag of Fritos either,
no.
But I still like the idea of embarrassing them on social media, embarrassing some of these massive corporations.
Yeah.
I'm not saying be vile.
No.
I'm just saying be accurate.
We are the consumers. We're the ones buying. We have the ability. We have a voice. Say what you like about Twitter, and we can say a lot about Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
But we put it out there to the world, and they will listen when they are pushed hard enough.
If they're pushed hard enough.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it, though. Tom from L.A., the one thing the government could do is break up the monopolies.
They can do that.
They can do that. It doesn't seem to happen very often.
Unfortunately, the monopolies are writing the laws. Sorry.
And giving big campaign donations.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't disagree with you, Tom. I think that would be a beautiful thing, but right now, let's work with what we can do, which is get on social media.
Take some pictures of your Doritos bag.
I was going to say, we should have picked one for today, but we can do that another time. Just, you know, you're on the chopping block.
Again, according to this article in Delish, shrinkflation is everywhere. Doritos removed 5 chips per bag. Bounty trimmed its rolls by 3 sheets. And Wheat Thins determined that family size, is 2 ounces smaller as it was before, but for the same price.
Of course it is. John from West Bend, he said, remember the movie Mr. Mom where Terry Garr's character talked to the tuna company into reducing? That's exactly what I was referring to. It was the 1983 film Mr. Mom.
I remember.
I personally feel like if a company, this is totally in the bottom line, I don't think they care about us. But if they feigned it even and said, hey, we're with you, wave a flag, Pepsi is life, but we're going to help you, that goes a long way versus what these companies are getting caught doing.
It would. Well, if you're looking for some decent PR, that wouldn't be a bad way to go about it.
Yes. And corporate folks, don't worry. You don't have to grow a heart and care about the common folk.
And you're still going to be really, 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 really rich.
You will be the first ones to colonize Mars and get away from the unwashed. It's fine. We'll take our bags of chips properly filled.
Andrew from Maine on the live stream. Don't forget how the price of consumer goods like Gatorade dropped in 2018 when the corporate tax cuts went into effect.
I should just learn how to make my own Gatorade. And my own potato chips.
And my own everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're going to start making our own cloth soon.
I built my own car. It's on fire currently.
Well, there's a way to fight back.
Yeah, it works. This is working.
Embarrass them on social media for charging us the same amount of money for a whole lot less.
There it is.
Do it today. Don't wait. All right. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing, tortoise edition. Mm. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to across the vast, statewide, countrywide, global, on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I worry about food, 'cause a thinking man's gotta eat right sometime. I don't need much and I don't pay no starvation wage. The poor boy's out on a poison ground. You don't rob the land. Oh, when you're just that little old shrinking man. Shrinking man. Nobody was worried about a shrinking man. Worried man with a worried soul. Prayer. 'Cause a shrinking man better be a praying man. Once I had a dream I was working. I had good ideas, I made big plans. I'm just like a leaf in the wind that's blowing. I hope King Jesus can understand. Shrinking man,
news from the center, WRCE.
Robinhood is introducing forecast contracts so you can trade the presidential election. Through Robinhood, you can now trade financial derivatives contracts on who will win the U.S. presidential election, Harris or Trump, and watch as contract prices react to real-time market sentiment. Each contract you own will pay $1 on January 8th, 2025, if that candidate is confirmed as the next U.S. president by Congress. Learn more about the presidential election contracts on Robinhood at www.robinhood.com/election. The risk of loss in trading commodity interests can be substantial. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Commodity interest trading is not appropriate for everyone. Displayed prices are based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. Learn more at www.robinhood.com/election.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, ABWT-Action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Early voting is underway in Wisconsin. You can vote through November 3rd, which is next Sunday.
Check to make sure that you can.
Go to civicmedia.us/vote. Civicmedia.us/vote. If you have any questions about what's happening in your area, the maps have changed. You want to make sure you know who's going to be on your ballot. You can pull up a sample ballot at myvote.wy.gov. But get in and vote early if you can.
Yeah,
I did it on Friday. It was a piece of cake. It took me 30 minutes. People were very nice. Don't do like the thing I saw over the weekend. It didn't specify where this happened, but there were photos of this woman who's older than me, and I'm 64.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she was into her early 70s. She showed up at her polling place with a campaign shirt on. You can't do that. It doesn't matter who it's for.
It depends on the state. Yes, it does.
It does.
I looked it up because I've seen some videos already. Make sure your state, you know what your state rules are. You can't, some states have it where you can't wear any sort of paraphernalia whatsoever.
Right.
Some states have it where they don't care. Some states have it you can't have literature in your hand or electioneering.
It's called electioneering. In this instance, there were signs up at this polling place saying you cannot wear campaign materials. It just said it right there. And this elderly woman took issue with that and called one of the election workers a blankhead. And then she ripped off her shirt and stood in line in her bra and voted in her bra. And at one point she told another election worker, suck my, I'm not even going to say it.
It's not even close.
This is why I'm voting for Trump.
Yeah.
Is what she said.
Blech.
So I don't know. I would avoid that.
Only the best people.
I would avoid that if I were you, and maybe just don't wear any election stuff if you're going to go vote. It's just easier that way.
Jane, maybe we're not just getting the joke, though. Maybe they're just making fun of us.
Okay. Oh, we took the bait.
We took the bait. Oh, we're idiots, Calvin.
We took the bait again.
We're idiots.
All right. It's 11:54, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it into Greg and me. Jane says, at civicmedia.us, this is the headline. Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak. A woman from China pleading guilty a couple weeks ago, trying to smuggle 29 eastern box turtles, which are a protected species, across a lake in Vermont into Canada. Wang Yi Ning, 41, arrested in June at an Airbnb just as she was about to get into an inflatable kayak with a duffel bag on Lake Wallace. Border Patrol agents had been notified by the Canadian Mounted Police that two other people, including a man believed to be this woman's husband, started paddling the inflatable watercraft from the Canadian side of the lake toward the U.S. The agents searched her heavy duffel bag and found 29 live eastern box turtles individually wrapped in socks. Is that their natural habitat?
They're little sleeping bags, Jane. They're
little turtle sleeping bags?
Itty bitty sleeping bags.
Eastern box turtles are known to be sold on the black market for $1,000 each.
Why?
I don't know. Her cell phone was taken. A search found communications. She was trying to get the turtles into Canada so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. Stop it now. She is sentenced to be sentenced in December, rather. She's facing 10 years in prison.
When don't mess with protected animals,
and
dude.
And a fine up to $250,000.
You are smuggling a protected species across international waters?
Yeah, not good.
For black market sales? Come on.
Now, I don't think I had, when I was a kid, we had turtles.
Yeah.
A lot of people my age probably had little turtles. Turtles are boring. If you're going to have them as a pet. I don't know if they were planning to eat these eastern box turtles or if they wanted them as pets. But turtles don't, they're just not a scintillating pet.
But they're a good starter pet for kids. They're cute. You feed them. You can look at them. You can pet them. And there's not a high risk. They live a long time.
I thought we couldn't even keep those same kind of turtles anymore because of illness issues.
I have no idea.
I'm sure someone will tell us.
I found a turtle once on the side of the road, and I took it into the car. My mom wasn't happy about that, and then it peed all over the car.
Lovely.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Leave them alone. Leave turtles alone.
Don't do this. This shouldn't happen. Calvin, that is today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us from 10:30 until 11 o'clock to talk all things in the news. Mary Hayes, really looking forward to having her back. She's with the Shequamagon Democrats covering Bayfield and Ashland counties.
Nice.
And I want to find out if she concreted her Harris Wall sign into the ground and if they managed to steal yet another one.
And we'll find out why Tom Tiffany isn't about the people.
That's all on the way tomorrow. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we start our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour with Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project and Reed Galen of the Union. Get on the road with us next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.